Friends, this is our third week. I know everybody hasn't been with us every week, but our third week of talking about our life together in community and how living this life together can push up against what we have shared is an epidemic of loneliness here in our culture in the U.S., in a lonely world. What we know, and I'll just repeat real quickly, is what we know from data is about half of U.S. adults say that they are either lonely or isolated or both. And then when the age goes down into our student population, that number is larger than 50%. So a lot of people in the present day feel lonely despite our interconnectedness. And so we've had this brief series to do really two things. One is to raise awareness, to kind of open our eyes, because not all of us feel this way, not all of us experience this, to open our eyes to the people around us, people in our circles, people in our church, people where we work and go to school, and to extend the thought that we could be in relationship with them, and by doing so, in some way, extend relationship with God and the love of Christ. It's a beautiful thought. It's a beautiful thing. I thought we'd start this morning. It's family day here, that we'd start with a little Menti poll really quick about this topic of connection. And so if you have a device or your phone with you, you're welcome to pull it out. You know that you always are here at Floris. And you'll see real quickly, if you go to the QR code on the screen, or you can go to menti.com, either one, and you'll see the number at the top. When you get the prompt for the number, that's 1-466-302. Enter that, and you see the question on the screen. And we invite those worshiping with us online to do the same. Go to menti.com or the QR code, enter 1-466-3062. Are you getting there? Okay, and the question is, name the greatest gift you've received from doing life together with others through the church. So through your connection and living with other Christians, connecting with them through the church, what has been the greatest gift of that? And we invite anybody of any age to do this. So if you have a device, you can get it out and use it and weigh in. And we'll begin to form a word cloud here. And I'll just call our attention to that. Once you get your response in, let's see how this thing fills up and what it tells us. I'm seeing some lovely words or groups of words, finding support. Support is big. The larger the word, that means the more people have used that word, or the larger the comment. So the bigger it gets, that means that's support, joy, love, community, friendship, belonging, faith, understanding, spirituality, the student ministry I see, serving others, flourishment, satisfaction, feeling blessed, having a prayer blanket, that's great, hope, friends, connection, grace, understanding, compassion, take a look at that, and we'll continue to weigh in, we'll just kind of let that fill in, accountability, the music, the praise, the camaraderie, meals, someone says. That's a big thing in the Methodist connection, having cookies today. Knowing others, having great friends, a sense of belonging, deeper understanding. It looks like support, love, and community and friends are rocking it as people continue to weigh in. And you can continue to weigh in with that and watch the cloud for a few minutes. We'll keep it up. So this poll, it tells us, it kind of affirms what I thought. I didn't know what y'all were going to say, y'all. But it kind of affirms what we've been talking about, is that there's a lot of good stuff through this relationship that we have in Christ through the church. It's not always perfect, we claim that, but there's a goodness within the community of faith that can extend and bridge into the world. We said that last week. And what you all are putting up here in this kind of just anecdotal data that we're sharing with one another, it supports what we know when people report the good stuff of being involved in the church. There's some surveys out there. I'm going to talk about some data today, but there's some scientific surveys that tell us that people that have meaningful relationships through the church, through the church, they report that they are happier people in general. And there's positive scales across a lot of things, from health and other well-being factors, psychosocial well-being. So engagement in the body that is the church, being fulfilled and encouraged and supported and finding peace and fellowship and all the things you're naming up there, belonging is healthy for us. Who knew? You knew this. You knew this. It's healthy for us, this connection. Now, since we're in family worship today, I'm going to let this go just for a few minutes, and I'm going to ask the folks in the booth if you would capture a picture of the screen before you take it down. So let's not lose it. We're going to do it again at 11 o'clock, but take a picture before you bring it down. We don't want to lose what this says. Since we're in family worship, I thought I just kind of quickly Googled, and you know, when you Google anymore, the AI thing kicks in a lot of times, and I asked, I said, what are kids across the world saying about what makes them happy? And I got some quick responses. Now, these are Gina's quick responses. I could have spent the whole service sharing this, but let me share just some of what children are saying from across the world. So our first one comes from a three-year-old in South Africa. He was asked, what is happiness? And he says, playing is happy. Playing in the playground and playing with friends outside is happy. I would agree with that, wouldn't you? Five-year-old from the U.S., Ty. I know what it means. He's talking happiness. It means you hug everybody and squeeze everybody, and that's all. So it must be from a hugging environment, Ty. All right, let's take the next one. It comes from Brazil. Ice cream makes me happy. I can relate to that, and maybe you. But what also makes me happy is feeling connected with people, happy when I help people, when I know I'm part of something bigger, which is what we are in connection, and when I see my life has a purpose in this world. Wow, that sounds like a future pastor or missionary being developed in Brazil there. Let's look at a couple more. Next one, Sabrina from the United States. Happiness is what you feel when you make a new friend, get a new pet, or see family when you haven't seen them in a while. And apparently she went on with that a little bit. So those connections are important. And then the next one, what makes me happy is to share with my sisters and play with them. The happiness kids we know within family with our siblings. And then the last one is from a student in Bolivia. I'm thankful, I'm happy because I have one more day of life, because my parents are healthy, and because my family is always together. So that connection that some know within the goodness of family. So I'm looking at our time. I'm going to pause for about a minute and a half. We usually don't do this in the sermon. And I'm going to let you turn to someone next to you and just share, you don't have to get up, about what makes you the happiest. What makes you the happiest? Just about a minute I'm going to give you. So share what makes you the happiest. All right, it looks like some great conversations going on. I'm going to call you back, and we're going to do just a quick survey of the room. We're not going to do this with Menti this time. We're going to do it with hands in the room. Those that are worshiping online, if you'll fill in the chat your responses. So you might have been chatting back and forth already about that answer. If you're not in the chat, if you're watching in another means, you can join the chat by going to Flores Online. Go to the website, and then you can go into Worship Online and join the chat. All right, so you may raise your hand for more than one of these questions, because I think people were probably saying more than one thing. It sounded like it. So let me ask you this way. Do things make you happy, like toys and cars and ice cream? Come on, be honest. They do. They do me. Yes, yes. So some people were talking about that. Other people might have been talking about experiences, like going on vacation or playing sports or reading a favorite book. That one gets more hands. Yeah, I'm looking, and people are weighing in the online chat. All right, what about relational things? Time with family, friends, at church. Okay, that wins the room. I'm not sure how it's doing online, but it wins the room. Thank you for participating. It's kind of nice to talk to each other during the sermon time. Yeah, across ages. Across ages, did you notice that? So there are a lot of things that can bring us joy in life. God gives us and blesses us with a lot of things. The point is, and we started this series saying this, is that we are created. As we are created in the image of God, as our creation story tells us, we are created to be in relationship. That happens with our origin story in Genesis, and we see how God calls us from that very origin to be in relationship with God and with one another. And when we're doing that, when we're in relationship with one another, what we find is that we tend to report higher indications of happiness. So I want to talk about this just a little bit. Authentic, loving relationship is what God extends to us, and God desires for us to extend it to one another. And it actually runs deeper than our self-reports of being happy. It runs into this place of creating whole and healthy communities. Individuals, yes, but communities too. The Harvard study of adult development, some of you may be familiar with this. Sometimes it's called the Harvard Happiness Study. Harvard has had the longest running and the most comprehensive longitudinal study of human happiness and well-being ever conducted. It began in 1938, and they started with some male Harvard students that were in college, and they just kept expanding their data pool over the years to make up for biases and to just follow people over the years to see across different demographic and racial and socioeconomic backgrounds, working scientifically against any biases in the data to see at the whole what makes people the most healthy and the most happy. You know what they found? You know what I'm going to say. The single major finding in this Harvard study of adult development is that good relationships are the strongest predictor of happiness, health, and longevity. Did you know this? Good relationships. So the stuff that we're talking about, this connection, the study revealed that people who were more socially connected in groups, you all name that as more people reported, friends, family, community, church, they also are physically healthier, they live longer than those that were less connected, that had less connection. And this result was true regardless of social class, IQ, or even genetic factors. They've looked at this, and the study is ongoing. The study also found this, that loneliness and poor relationships were as detrimental to your health as smoking or alcoholism. Is that shocking to you? It was to me. Smoking, while nurturing warm, supportive connection, have a protective effect. They have a preventative effect against both mental and physical decline as this group has aged, as they've watched them longitudinally in the study for so many years, for over 80 years of the study. I'll just let that sit with you for a minute. It's fascinating, right? If this fascinates you and want to look at it a little bit more, one of the things I reviewed for this series is a book called The Good Life. It's the lessons learned from this Harvard study, and these are the two primary researchers now that are tracking this, and it gives some suggestions about how to think about yourself in connection to the world around you and about your own relationships. So this morning, I'm on this point of it's important. It's important to your health. It's important to the community's health. It's important to the church's health for us to look at this business of being whole and connected to others. Now, today's text that was read, that long text from Acts chapter 11, it talks about Peter reporting back to the church in Jerusalem. He's been out, he's been ministering, he had this weird vision that was read for us of where the sheet comes down, and he's told to eat things, and he says, I don't want to basically interact, Lord, with what's unclean, and God says, nothing that I've made is unclean, and then he sends him to the house of Cornelius, a bunch of Gentiles, and they all receive the Spirit of God. There's a grand conversion that happens, and Paul is back to the church in Jerusalem, and he's reporting this. And as you read through this section of Acts, you hear that some of the Christians, they ridicule Paul for this. I mean, Peter for this, I'm saying Paul. They ridicule Peter for this because he's doing something, he's interacting with those that they had formerly considered not just unclean, but maybe outside of the scope of God's grace. Outside of the sense that God might build this one human family that's interconnected. And Peter responds, giving this vision, and he says to him, which I think is so like pointed and beautiful. He says to them this. Let's pull up Acts 11, verse 17. He says, if then God gave them the same spirit that he gave us when we believed that in the Lord Christ, then who am I to hinder God? Who are we to hinder God and not reaching out to others, he says. Who am I? Because I saw this, they received the Spirit. And what happens then is the people hear him. This Jerusalem council, they hear him as brothers in the faith. They hear Peter and they fall silent for a moment. And they sort of like take it in. And then we heard it read, they start glorifying and praising God. That God is extending God's family to the Gentiles and to all the world. And so today, it's kind of beautiful to have Bishop Boyd Cocker here to kind of just show how that connection has run far and wide, of how the spread of the gospel and making us whole as human family has not just stayed in a circle, right? It's moved outward, and we have this relationship. We have this relationship here at Florist with the people of Sierra Leone that many of us, some of us have gone and seen them, and some of you in this room, you've never made the long trip there. You don't know any. I can recall people I met last year by name, but you may not know anyone's name, but you know you're a part of this connection, and it touches your heart. And you've loved and served and expanding the community of Christ. It sort of stands in as an example to us today of who we're supposed to be in all of our relationships. Beyond differences, beyond, and that's what Peter is pushing up against. Is like the other Christians, the other brothers in their faith are there saying, oh, you know, what are you doing with those people? That's not what Jesus meant. And Peter says, who am I to hinder God, folks? God has a different plan for connection. And that's beautiful. We can talk about that beauty of it today, but we can also talk about the challenge of it, right? It's a challenge. It's a challenge here in our U.S. context when we know that over 50% of people, some in this room, feel lonely and isolated. And we can walk on by that, or we can walk on out of the sermon series. We're going to keep this topic before us a little while, even though we're switching series next week. We can walk out and forget about it. Oh, we talked about loneliness a little bit in church, or you can take it to heart and begin to look at the world and think about your relationships in terms of where there is this beauty in the thing of the connection of Christ. Y'all put that on the screen with a word cloud. And that there are other people that long to feel all those positive vibes that you all noted on screen earlier. And to begin to open your heart, whether you're in your class, your sports team kids, parents, if you're on the bleachers. I as a parent who spent a lot of years, y'all know I was a sports parent. All three of my kids have played sports. Some of the best relationships are formed when you're watching your kids grow up in those places of whether it's sports or dance or whatever they're doing, and you form these connections. Some of the best friends, you wonder, some of the best friends will start right in your class if you're a kid, or right in your work environment if you're a door. Why is that? Because we have proximity with each other. We're close in. So what a great space for us to look around and look at who might be feeling excluded, to look at who might seem like they're not connected or lonely, and invite them into relationship, to open our hearts. And then that relationship can ultimately extend into a relationship with God, right? Where we just like the early church, we're called into this beloved community of Christ, but we, like the early church, we're challenged sometimes to let go of the way we see the world, whether it's through prejudice, because that's what the early church was challenged with, or through things that just stretch us outside of our comfort zone, right? Sometimes when we're thinking, and you might see, in even our long-held traditions, you might see somebody that seems like they're on the exterior, and you might make excuses for them. Oh, they're just that way. God calls us to open our hearts and our eyes to care. And if we feel like we're on the exterior, is to look for places where we might connect as well. Because there are safe places in the church. There are good places where you can connect and be real and share your heart and find support. I know that's what I've found over the years. That's been my experience. So today, one of the things, I want to give you this vision too. One of the things I shared last week that we've been using the work of Reverend Michael Beck a little bit in the series too, and his work, Never Alone. Michael Beck says this. He says, Jesus' ministry was one of radical inclusion and an ever-expanding guest list to the heavenly banquet. I just think that's such a beautiful vision of, like, the invitation never ends. Like, the guest list to this goodness that we know in Christ, it just goes on and on and on. And there's great possibility for someone that you'll see this afternoon, or maybe even someone that you've encountered in some of the conversation this morning, to just extend relationship. It's to really care and to see them and to listen to them and to reach out to them. The scripture from Acts 11, as Peter shares this, it says the disciples fell silent. And so as we close, I'm going to give you just a moment of silence to reflect on this, to think about who or perhaps where you might need to be to extend connection, to either enter into connection or extend the connection in the goodness of Christ. So we're going to let just a little silence, about a few seconds, fall, and then I'm going to close this in prayer. So let's do that. Let's be silent like the early church was, thinking about this. And then we'll turn to glorify God. Open your hearts. God, as silence has fallen in this room across all the different ages represented here, we give you thanks for our diversity and for our connection this morning. And we give you thanks, Lord, for how you always are calling us to something that's greater than ourselves, something that child testimony in the screen told us, that we are a part of something bigger than just us. And that's your amazing work of love. Extending, ever extending and widening the table and the invitation. And Lord, as we get ready to go forth with the joys of the day, perhaps the challenges of the day even, remind us as we go forth, Lord, that we go with you, that we have a Savior who tells us in Christ that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, he will never leave us alone. And with that holy connection, Lord, you call us to extend the same love and connection to the world around us. Help us to see others, to hear others, to notice others, to sense the spaces of disconnection that might exist in people that are crossing our hearts and minds even right now. And send us forth, Lord, knowing that you go with us, that you love us, that we're a part of something that is incredible. That it's not just good, but it transforms the world and it gives us hope and it gives that person who's lonely today a hope for today and for tomorrow. We pray this prayer, Lord, and we give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.